Yo, what's good? Welcome to an emergency edition of the Ringer NBA show. I am Logan Murdoch, and I will be joined by Kevin O'Connor and Chris Ryan to discuss the new Russell Westbrook trade for John Wall. It's crazy. We might have an announcement by the end, so tap into that.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck, or I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at NissanUSA.com.
Basketball is very good.
What is up? We have an emergency edition of the Ringer NBA show. I am Logan Murdoch. I am joined by Chris Ryan. We are talking to you right after. I can't even like get this all the way out, Chris. We are talking to you right after the Rockets traded Russell Westbrook. Wait for it. For John Wall.
This is the most important thing that would have happened to me in 2014.
You know what? That was like my third thought after this happened. Let's get the full terms out here first. Let's go. So Houston trades Russell Westbrook to the Wizards for John Wall and a 2023 protected first round pick. There's a lot of other things that it goes. The pick goes and does a lot of things. I'm going to let you guys look at that. It's a lot going on. But the reason why we're here, Russell Westbrook to the Wizards for John Wall. My first question to you, Chris, who won this trade?
We did. The people did. This is a trade for the people. Because I'll tell you what, I was like, okay, I was just watching an episode of A Teacher, just chilling out on a Wednesday night. And then this trade comes across and I was like, well, let me look at some numbers. Let me think about what this means for Washington. Let me think about what it means for Houston. And I was like, what am I doing? Has there ever been two players that are more impressionistic, that are more just like, let's just like let it rip and see what happens? So like, how can we even start to look at like real plus minus or BPM with these dudes? John Wall hasn't even really played basketball in close to 3 years. I mean, my memory doesn't even go back that far. And Russ is Russ. We know what the deal is. I'm a little bit shocked that the Houston experiment with Russ and Harden is over so fast. And I really do wonder whether this means that Houston is taking another step towards getting rid of Harden and completely tearing it down. But the winner of this trade is us.
Yes. It is us. You can make the argument that some other establishments won as well, but I just don't see...
What kind of establishments?
Establishments in Houston.
Like nightlife establishments?
They won this trade. Nightlife establishments won this trade. Yeah. Yes. Like, I mean, we could say that, right?
I think so.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah. But I just, when you look at the rosters and you look at the setup, obviously this pairs, let's go to Houston first. Okay. This pairs John Wall, who we had, like you said, we haven't seen in 3 years healthy. He's coming off one of the worst injuries you can possibly have in the league with a torn Achilles. For a guy that relies so much on athleticism, also a guy that needs the ball, and you pair him with arguably the most ball-stopping guard in the league, and then you put him around a roster that just doesn't really fit in the modern NBA. I don't think so. It's just like it's very wonky. One of their biggest acquisitions, I think, have been John Wall, and then you got a guy like Boogie Cousins And then you have, you know, Christian Wood too, but like their splash ones are guys that have not, that haven't, that, it just does, it's not an inspiring move if I'm a Houston Rockets fan.
I need that Papa John's cam on Calipari right now, like we had on draft night where he had the 10 minutes uninterrupted monologue. Like I got to know whether this is like his great dream has become realized by seeing Boogie and Wall paired together.
That would have been great in 2013.
Yeah.
It would have been great. Yeah. It would have been, that's a 50-win team in 2013. I don't see this right now, though. I don't see anything inspiring out of Houston right now. And it's just, it's disappointing. It's, and it all goes back down to one, it goes down to ownership, the ownership change with Tommy Fertitta. It's been a systematic teardown of a great team and an organization that is used to being on top.
Yeah, let's be quite clear. Frankly, I mean, like, this is a franchise that is used to being in the playoffs. Throughout all of Daryl Morey's tenure there, they were at least competitive, and they were at least always trying to get that edge and to get in to be a relevant team. You know, and relevance is something that I think is kind of fallen by the wayside because you're either going for a ring or you're rebuilding in the NBA. But
Houston was also a team that they rebuilt on the fly with Daryl Morey, right? Like they weren't a team that just, oh, we're going to give up and tank. And it seems like, and it's odd to see the Rockets do that right now. And I'm not saying that they're tanking. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if they're going to put James Harden on the floor going into this season. We don't know. But for a team that was always competing against the Warriors and was one of the best teams, not even 3 years ago, right? Was the best team in the Western Conference. For them to trade the Chris Paul trade, that did it. I don't think it worked out.
So let me ask you this: does this happen without Harden's green light?
I don't know. It remains to be seen, and this is probably a controversial case. It remains to be seen right now if James Harden's green light matters right now.
Right.
Like I don't know if it does.
So the rumors coming out of Houston were that he was not. That neither he nor Russ were satisfied with the Stephen Silas hire necessarily. I think that they at least. There was some hope that the Rockets would land Ty Lue. There was some other guys in the mix and that they were not happy about either being vetoed or overridden for the Stephen Silas hire. And what I'm trying to figure out, I guess, on the fly here, and we can get to Washington in a second, because I think Washington kind of comes out of this fine. Houston now is in a situation where, like, I don't know. I think their leverage is kind of evaporating if they had any. I mean, the whole idea was, like, we're prepared to be uncomfortable is what the word out of that camp was. Yeah. That we're going to send Russ and Harden into this season, and we're going to see what we got, and we're going to wait for the deal that makes sense for us if it comes to that. And now...
Or if we can convince them to stay. Or if we can just convince them.
Exactly. If they say, hey, Stephen Silas is an offensive genius, and we're doing things the right way. And now I just don't know where this franchise is headed. I don't know if anybody does. I mean, from what you know, do you think that this is something that because Harden orchestrated him, he wanted to play with Westbrook. So for Westbrook to be on his way out the door just a season later, I just don't think that either doesn't speak highly of what's happening in Houston, or it doesn't speak highly of Harden's ability to pair with another star.
I need the Houston Rockets brass to come up with a plan, or at least come out with a plan, right? Because you're saying that, hey, we want to contend, and you're saying that, hey, you know, at least through leaks and things like that, that, hey, we're gonna ride it out with these guys. But every move that they make seems like they're dismantling everything that made them great, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. I think they need to come up with a sure plan for their fan base. Like, are you guys going to tank? Are you guys just going to just build it all the way back, try to build it all the way back up? And honestly, I don't have any confidence that they will bring it back up right now with what they're doing right now if they chose to tank. But I think they need to come up with at least come up with an outward plan to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is, we're trying to compete still, or no, we're going through a rebuild, in which case then you trade Harden. So I don't know what they're doing, but I think they need to come out with something.
The Harden thing is one of the more unique versions of this star wants out stories that we've seen, because his deal is long enough that Houston really does have a lot of leverage here. But if you're Harden, you're really only leaving to go somewhere where a title is in touching distance. Like, you want to go to a contender. But the contenders out there, you know, LeBron just signed his extension. You know, like, I feel like most of the contenders are happy with where they're at, with the exception, I guess, of Brooklyn and Philly, who are the teams that we've talked with that have been most mentioned in the Harden rumors, right? In terms of being able But I don't know, man. I mean, like, I guess I'm really starting to wonder whether or not I don't want this to happen from a competitive standpoint necessarily, although I would do it for the, I would love it for the content. Is Harden more of like a third man than he is a second man? Because it doesn't seem to be working out with any of the pairs that he's been trying to get in touch with.
Okay, I think, Chris, you also have to give credit to the fact that they played against one of the greatest teams of all time, and that team was in their way, right?
Yeah, but like you could do that for like the entire Eastern Conference for all of LeBron's time there, right? Like, I mean, like that is the reality of the situation.
But I don't think that's a referendum on whether he's a number one guy if the team that was in his way was historically great.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I do think he's a number one guy. I think that, like I said, it goes back to needing a plan, and I just don't see the Rockets having that right now. I don't see that. And another question, we're supposed to be doing this, I think it'll come out soon on the Ringer site. You go check this out. We had a tier system where we all had to vote, yeah. Right? We all had to vote on what team, every team in the league of, is their situation dire? Is it bleak? Are they a bubble team? Are they on the playoff bubble? Are they in the playoff, a playoff lock? I think Houston is on that fringe level between a playoff team, maybe, but on that bubble. What do you think about that? Their chances right now? Do you think that they're an eighth seed? Can they go in for the sixth seed or something like that?
Doesn't it speak to the absolute? I mean, they could be anything from a sixth seed to a lottery team right now. That's like the kind of scope we're talking about with this. With Houston, KOC is joining us now. So Kevin,
we have KOC. Hey, what's popping,
what's
dog?
What's up? How you guys doing?
What a weird one, right, ooh, Kevin?
Yeah. Very, very weird. Just from the perspective of watching basketball, and we're going to see these guys in these different jerseys. John Wall, all we know is him in a Wizards jersey, but from a basketball perspective as well. I reported a story earlier this year that John Wall and Bradley Beal were super excited to play with each other after 2 years off.
I think Tommy Shepard just gave a press conference where he was like, I can't wait to have John Wall. He's not going anywhere. Yeah.
And, I was ready for that. And despite the rumors of this that were pretty real around the draft before it to happen now, it's just really odd. There must have been some type of agreement, you would think, between Beal and Shepard, that this is for the best of the team. Either that or the front office just straight up felt the only way to keep Bradley Beal in Washington is by winning. And this deal, you know, for all the knocks on Russ, I think it does make them a better basketball team.
I do too.
See, okay, this is where I'm glad that you brought up the Wizards, because it's a great transition to go into to Washington situation. I don't know if this appeals to Bradley Beal. I mean, you have a guy that is a top 15 player who is a scorer, who has improved his scoring over the last few years. Do you really want to pair him with another ball stopping guard who can't shoot, who takes the ball? He, for all intents and purposes, can be a ball hog. Does that make you optimistic if you're Bradley Beal? Like, I don't see that. I don't think that necessarily makes him better. I don't think that. Why should Washington have optimism? I don't see it. Why should they have?
I mean, you're talking to me like you're like preaching here, man. I agree with every word you said about Russ. I mean, I've said it for years. Like, this dude's not going to age well unless he changes his game, and he hasn't. So in that sense, I don't know if it's good for Bradley Beal individually, but I do think Westbrook, for all his faults, is still a better bet the next two seasons than John Wall, coming off such a major leg injury that does not have a good history for guys who are in their 30s that are reliant on their athleticism, like Wall is, for speed, agility, burst, explosiveness at the rim. It's probably not going to go well. For Russ, he's just a better player right now and a better bet the next 2 years, which is all Washington can think about.
And I think Washington knows what they are, even in the best of times with Beal and Wall. I mean, I know that they've both dealt with injuries over the course of their careers, and Beal has definitely emerged, I think, as a more, as a more multidimensional talent in the absence of Wall. He's obviously like grown into this new role. But at the end of the day, we kind of know what Wall and Beal can do in the Eastern Conference. And at least, you know, if you put what Russ out there, salary wise, it's not that much of a significant difference in terms of who's got the longer deal, KOC?
It's the same, actually.
Same deal.
Them, yeah.
And this gives Bradley Beal like a different counterpunch here. You know what I mean? And maybe there's something about the way Russ is in the locker room, on the practice court, and whatever it is that changes the chemistry on that Wizards team.
I think that Bradley Beal needs to give a call to Kevin Durant to see how it feels to be a high volume scorer with Russell Westbrook alongside you, to figure out how to do that. And I'm not even trying to joke. I think that that's really something that he should do, because it's hard to score in bunches when Russell Westbrook is hogging the ball like that. Like it just is. And it's hard to call someone a ball hog when they average a triple double, but Russ is just that. KLC, I do want to get your take on this from the Houston side, because we talked about a bit about how we feel about the Houston side. What the hell's going on in Houston? Is there any optimism in Houston right now when you have a guy like John Wall who has a barely functioning Achilles, but he's going to go alongside Harden?
I mean, not really. There's not too much to feel good about. If you're a Rockets fan, my buddy Sean Yu, our coworker here at the Ringer, I feel for him. I feel for you, Sean. With the Rockets here, it just feels like we are on an inevitable path towards a Harden trade. It's just a matter of when
happens. That's what we're talking about.
You know, like when is the trade demand going to happen? When is the Sixers going to?
Well, it's already happened. The trade deadline.
Yeah.
The trade request has already happened. That's true. It's a matter of if they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I don't think John Wall helps you win more basketball games in this situation. I mean, unless Wall is 100% healthy, but I'm not so sure about that. It feels like this is Houston kind of hedging its bets. They're getting back a player that can still help contribute and maybe keep Harden there, but also you get a future first round draft pick after you gave it all up for Russ.
Yeah.
KOC, who do you think is calling the shots in Houston?
I believe Raphael Stone is. It seems to be the case. I mean, maybe Tillman Fertitta has taken on a heavier, you know, responsibility or when it comes to decisions, but it's not like the owner never has final say anyway, but it does seem like Stone is the guy there.
What is Tillman's son going to do with all his Rockets Westbrook jerseys? Do you make a quilt? What happens?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure we should.
The throwback game is good, though.
That's true. Yeah, great
throwback
game.
Throwback mark is here.
Great throwbacks. What a weird trade.
This is so strange, because Logan and I were talking about how if we were in a time machine and we went back to 2013-14, we would just be freaking out. we would be talking about this for hours. As it is, this is like, we're like, I guess we should do a podcast about this. But it's like John Wall and Russell Westbrook are two of the most iconic players of the decade. You know what I mean? Of the past decade.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know that Wall is obviously faded a lot, but like for me, is one of my favorite players I've ever seen live is watching John Wall play basketball. So there's a part of me that I just want to sound like, as we kind of like are being very cynical about the motivations and what's going to happen with these, I love watching these guys play at their best. And so I hope that the new change of scenery works out for Russ. Like they just must not have wanted him to come to camp. I mean, they must not have wanted to go into any kind of camp with Russ and Harden either sitting out or not reporting or bringing whatever vibes they were going to bring. Cause the timing to me is a little bit suspicious.
Well, KOC, I pose this question to Chris Ryan. I do want to pose this question to you. Does Houston have a plan? Are they rebuilding? Mm-hmm. Are they contending? I don't think they're going to be a contender with this Dre, but I'm talking about the mindset. What are they doing? What is in their head right now?
They want to keep Harden. They really, really do. And I think that was the logic behind them essentially swapping Robert Covington to create the cap space to sign Christian Wood. You're getting, you know, a big, an actual big, not a small player playing as a big like Covington was last year. A guy who can rim run for you, shoot threes, switch a little bit, and also block shots. So I think that was the logic there to upgrade the roster and give them like a taste of what they had with Capella. But with this, it definitely does seem like a blend here of you are, you know, giving Westbrook what he wants to the trade demand. He wants out. You don't want to have those chemistry problems, as Chris just mentioned. Like, I think that's got to be a real element of it here with Westbrook wanting out. But with John Wall, it is interesting. Still, if he comes back and is able to stay healthy and maybe has great chemistry with Christian Wood, who's the type of pick and roll screener that he's really flourished with in the past, maybe it could work out. Maybe it could work out and keep Harden happy, because ultimately that's all that matters, is keeping Harden happy. He basically runs the whole organization.
Kev, do either of these team make the playoffs?
I think Washington can. Houston, they'll be like on that, you know, 6-9 range, depending on how things work out here with Wall, but could be a play-in team.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think this, right? I think that right now, I know back in the day, the Warriors and the Rockets were competing for titles. Now I think they're just competing for postseason play now, and it's crazy to even consider that. It's even 2 years later,
stuff
right?
Just
I think
so fast that, in this league now, man. It's
so fast.
I don't think so. Warriors and then the Rockets, the one team that really went as hard as they could, went as far as they could against that team. They're the ones who really, really went for it against this juggernaut dynasty that everybody was saying, well, maybe you wait out Golden State. Houston was like, nah. And now both of these teams are in the bubble, you know?
Okay, question before we get out of here. I'm going to start with Chris Ryan and then go to KOC. Does Harden stay? Is he on the Houston Rockets by the end of the season?
No, I think that this is the first part of a plan. So I think he's gone. I think they may hold him for a little while, but I think that the plan is to get off of him.
I'd be willing to bet the same as Chris. But I will also just add, though, who's the team that's going to give what it takes? That's what I'm going to... I don't think Brooklyn can give as much as like Philly can if Philly wants to. There's other teams that could step up to the plate and outdo that Brooklyn offer. So like, who's that team? Who's that team that's really going to step up?
Kevin, just really quick, though. If you just traded for John Wall, and maybe that's just like the only thing you could have done with Russ, let's just say that hypothetically, you wouldn't necessarily then want to go trade for Ben Simmons, or are you just in like asset grabbing mode and you just want to bring the best players available onto the team?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's asset mode, and John Wall is, you know, the one guy that you might not want there in that situation at that point, making $40+ million on coming up a bad knee. But you know, he still only has 3 years left, including his player option. So, I mean, you can live with it if that's what it has to come down to. But obviously, you'd want to move him to, you know, some team that might want to have a point guard making that much money.
Sure.
Man, this has been a crazy night already. So thank you to Chris Ryan for coming on. Thanks, KOC. KOC, man, congratulations, bro. Mismatch, you guys got the mismatch, got their own feed.
Yeah, we're super, super excited about it. You know, if people want to go follow that, just search for The Mismatch on Spotify or iTunes or whatever you use to listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, and Logan, we got Real Ones coming twice a week from now on, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we got it. The cat's out of the bag.
We have a lot of stuff happening on Ringer NBA show, so we're really excited.
Make sure
about
you
it.
Tap in to the Real Ones. Ooh. Starting next week, two times a week. We're on Mondays and Thursdays. Ooh. Now.
Love it.
Starting next week. So, man, you know what I mean? Some moves getting made on the Ringer. Make sure you listen to that wherever you get podcasts, but make sure you listen to it specifically on Spotify. You see how I did that, KOC? That's I learned from you. You see how I did that? All right, man. We will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Basketball is very good.